Romans 5, Colossians 2, and Ephesians 2. Have you ever felt irritated with the way people are treating you? Not irritable, because I know none of us get irritable, right? We just get irritated. It's just the circumstance. It's, you know, this person's not treating me well. I'm irritated, not irritable. Nobody's ever been irritable, right? Okay, that's just everybody else's fault, okay? But sometimes we get irritated at the way people treat us. Or sometimes we get angry about the way people view us. They say things to us, and it's an expression of how they see us, and we get angry about that. And I sometimes wonder, when we get irritated and angry about the way people see us and the way they treat us, I wonder if the reason why we're so upset is because, in part, we, to some degree, believe that about ourselves. You know, they hit a nerve. They called us unkind. They said that we're rude. And we got upset because part of us believes that that's true. And many times, the way we interact with others is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. Do you possibly feel guilty at all about the way you've been with others? Or ashamed of the way you've behaved in front of others, the way you talked in front of others? And even in that guilt and that shame, we still end up in a place where we're still feeling like, but I shouldn't be dumped upon. And then we start to feel a little bit like we begin to do some self-loathing, and we start to want help, and then we start to think, nobody's, it's okay, she's doing a little self-loathing right now. But we start to think, you know, nobody's ever there for me. Nobody notices what I'm going through, struggling with. Nobody seems to care about me. We start to wonder how much value we have. Do we matter to anybody? And we feel the weight of our insecurities and our inadequacies and our flaws and our issues. And sometimes that comes out in our irritability towards others, our crankiness. Again, we might blame others, but it's because we don't feel good on the inside. We have all this baggage that we're carrying. And it makes me think of the answer to that. You remember this statement in Isaiah, many of you do. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What powerful language that is. All the baggage that we're carrying, all the things that we're wrestling with, all the ways that we feel about ourselves. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know what the problem is? Even though he did that good to us, you know how we've responded? Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Even though God has given so much good to us, we still have a poor response to him. We do that to him. We do that to others. You ever walked away from a conversation and you thought, why was I so mean to the person who's so great to me? And then we feel worse, even worse still. But, and it's great when there's bad news and Scripture has a but after it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Last week, we talked about regaining our passion, and we talked about our need to be more passionate for the Lord. And in that, I think sometimes there's a struggle that we have, that the very thing that brings us healing, the very thing that brings us life, we have to talk ourselves into going to, you know? We have to try to convince ourselves to going to the thing that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, the very source that we have to talk ourselves into it. But we must do that because if we're going to have this healing that he wants to give us, we have to convince ourselves to be in Christ. In Luke 7, Jesus gives an analogy or a response to a situation, and he says, so there's one person that was forgiven little by his master, and one person was forgiven much by his master. And he asked the question, which one will love him more? And the answer was, the one who was forgiven the most, that's the one that's going to forgive, going to love him more. And when we think about our social encounters with others, the more positive encounters we have with someone, the more enjoyable it is to be with that person, the more they're loving and kind towards us, they do things in our lives, they serve us, they make us feel good. As much as we would like to not have this nature about ourselves, we love that person more when they're good to us. We love them more. I mean, think about it. The people we're annoyed with, we're not annoyed with the people that do great things in our lives, right? We're not annoyed by the people who make us feel loved. We're irritated by the people who we have bad encounters with. And Jesus shares that analogy, accepting that this is the way we are. And he knows that if we're going to have this encounter with him, that we have to experience the good that he has for us. We have to experience that love. And I think some of the reasons why we fail to be able to find the drive to push into Christ is because we haven't truly known, understood, or encountered what great love we can encounter when we come to Christ. And what healing, if we truly can be found in Christ, what healing is available to us? Because by his stripes, we were healed. And though, yes, I believe that God can heal us physically, I don't think that's the healing that Isaiah meant. To heal us to the core of who we are. We should love Jesus Christ and press into him because of the many great things that he has done for us. And this morning, we're going to walk through three deep gifts and to walk through understanding these deep, deep gifts that he has given to us. The first deep gift is this. In Romans 5, he has given us the gift of acceptance. And he's given it, and this is what he says in Romans 5, the way he's given us this acceptance in verse 1, it was through our Lord. In verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, Christ died for us. Verse 9, by his blood. Verse 10, by the death of his son. Verse 10, saved by his life. Jesus died. Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead so that you and I could be accepted. Have you ever done something wrong to somebody? Have you ever said the wrong thing to somebody? Have you ever broken something that someone cared about and then you thought, they're going to find out about this. I have to tell them. And then you start thinking about how mad they're going to be when you tell them that you broke the thing that they care about so much. Or if you've, getting ready to apologize and you think, I wonder how mad they're going to be at me. And we're consumed by that because we don't want to be rejected by them. We don't want to not be loved by them. And we're worried about their anger that they have. And you know what's interesting? Is though people might be angry with us, and maybe we deserve them to be mad at us. You know what Jesus died for? Verse 1, that we would have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That we can come to him blown it, messed it up, and we can come to him repentant, and you know what we'll receive? He's not mad at us. And I don't know what you did yesterday that may have been bad. Do you know that when we come to seek the Lord, we can anticipate he's not mad at us? Everybody else might be mad at us, but he is not mad at me. Also, sometimes when we do something wrong, and in our earthly relationships, We're worried about that there's going to be some consequences to this. I'm going to get yelled at. Have you ever thought that? I'm going to get yelled at for this. I'm going to get the cold shoulder for a while. The silent treatment. Have you ever been given the silent treatment? Okay. I just know. Nice, both hands there, Glenn. Wow. I know that there's going to be coldness from this person. They're going to be cold towards me for a while, for whoever knows how long. And it's a weight that we carry to anticipate that bad things are coming. And we know that, well, we deserved it. You know, I shouldn't have done that dumb thing. I deserved this treatment. But it's still not a great feeling to be anticipating this is going to go bad. Or ever get called into your boss's office, okay, and you just, it's anticipation, this is not going to be good. There are bad things waiting for me. Well, verse 2 of Romans 5, when it comes to the Lord, he says, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this anticipation that something good is about to happen in my life is in the context of, I don't deserve it. I'm a mess. I am messing this up. The Lord should not want me, should not like me at all. But because of the grace that he has given to me, I can come to him a mess, a complete wreck, and I can anticipate good things are going to happen to me because I'm trusting in Jesus Christ that he's going to bless me, he's going to love me, he's going to pour out his spirit upon me. Again, have you ever had the person who just, now they're just cold with you? Have you ever been blocked by somebody? Have you ever been ghosted before? They're ignoring you, and you really need to know, and it hurts, especially if it's someone you care about. It hurts. You want to know that they love you still, that they care about you, and they're responding the way that they are. And many times we like to point the finger, and maybe they're not acting right, but maybe in many instances we cause this. We cause them to not want to. Have you ever had like the, you went to give someone a hug, and they gave you one of these hugs? Okay, now, all right, good, enough now, okay. And you felt so loved to the core when you had that kind of hug, right? And listen, some people just don't have the capacity. Some people, it's because we messed this whole thing up. And we messed this thing up with the Lord also. But you know what is great about the Lord? And he died, because we don't deserve this. He died so that we can have this. Verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts. That though I've messed this up yesterday, have you ever felt like I wish I could say I didn't mess it up yesterday? You know, like I wish I could go longer. That why do I have to keep saying I messed it up yesterday again? And yet, even though we mess this up time and time again, what Jesus died, his life, death, and resurrection purchased for us is the ability to come before him, a mess as we are, and let him pour out his love upon us. And also, verse 5, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, sometimes people have given us gifts or they've helped us out and we complained about it. You know, it wasn't perfect or we weren't very grateful about it or we didn't thank them for it. We didn't express appreciation. And at some point, those people decided they weren't going to help us out anymore. You know, we asked them for help, and they're like, no, I'm sorry, I'm good. And they won't help us. They won't do things for us. They won't serve us. They're not there for us. And we get mad, and maybe sometimes it's them, but sometimes maybe it's us. You know, we didn't interact with them well, and so they've chosen, I'm not going to give them any help. And we don't deserve the Lord's help either. You know, we don't deserve him to show up and empower us through this. We don't deserve to have him show up and give us the wisdom to navigate through this. And yet, he died. He lived, died, and rose from the dead so that he can give us, and what is the Spirit called? Our helper. When the Spirit comes, he fills us with power. The Spirit gives us the wisdom to know and understand and discern all things. We have messed this up. We have blown this up. We have been so unfaithful to God in many ways. And yet, because of his life, death, and resurrection, we can come to him expecting he's going to give me help right now. Do we understand the depth of that? He's going to help me out. And I won't even help him out. I don't even want to serve and do the things that he wants me to do. And yet when I come to him, he gives me help. Jesus died so that I can have that. And also, verse 7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. Have you ever avoided someone who knew something bad about you? Because it doesn't feel good to be around that person who knows something bad about you. And maybe they're not, but maybe you've noticed that they're treating you differently now because of something they found out about you. And you see that their acceptance of you is conditional. As long as I am this way. And again, maybe it's rightfully so. You know, if I'm difficult to deal with, then maybe they shouldn't just so easily get along with me. But it hurts when someone rejects us, does it not? Even if it's deserved, it hurts when someone rejects us. And for humanity, it's difficult to accept someone who's doing wrong, is it not? It's difficult to love the unlovable. It's difficult to be there for the person who is not trustworthy. And so even for a righteous person, one might be willing to die. But you know what? Romans 5, verse 8, God shows his love for us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, while we were still messing it up, while we were still ugly, while we were still coming to him ungrateful, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is one person that no matter how much we've blown it, no matter how much we've messed it up, no matter how much we've lacked in our faithfulness and zeal towards him, no matter how much we are a monster, he, if we come to him, will always accept us. We don't know that for the people in our lives, but he will always accept us. And you know how? We don't deserve that. We don't deserve him to always have what? That's why he told the parable of the Good Samaritan, the son who just went out and just completely disrespected his father in every way. And when he came back, the father, his arms were open wide to accept him. Why can God do that for us? Because he lived, died, and rose from the dead. Jesus paid the price so that we can undeservedly be accepted all the time. That's the gift that he has given to us. He has also given us the gift of a cleared record. In Colossians 2 is where we see this surface. And again, this cleared record is purchased. Verse 14, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In verse 20, with Christ you died. He died, he was nailed to the cross to afford us this cleared record. Again, we sometimes do things that are wrong. Have you ever deserved some consequences in your life? Okay. You know, have you ever got told off and you're like, I deserve that. I deserve to be told off. Have you ever gotten the cold shoulder and you thought, I deserve that. A broken relationship, I deserve that. A body issue, I deserve that. You know, all that cake and ice cream I just ate, yes, I deserve this. Anytime I hardly ever do this, but if ever a time Taco Bell enters into my body, the first words out of my mouth is, I deserve every bit of what is happening now to my body now that this is making its way through. We deserve consequences. But you know what is great about the Lord? Verse 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses. Dead how? Because we weren't dead physically. How were we dead? We were dead because we were the walking dead. We were as good as dead because there were consequences coming to us because we deserved them and bad things were heading in our direction. We were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh. But this, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our, not just part of them, not just the ones that weren't so bad. God has forgiven us of all our trespasses. And so when we come to Christ because he lived, died, and rose from the dead, we get to have our consequences removed. Now, I know that sometimes there might be still some earthly consequences, but the ultimate consequences of our actions. Can you imagine doing wrong to somebody and you will not ever pay for that action? And we might say, and just hold that for a moment, because the judgmental side of us is like, but they are never going to learn their lesson if they're not given some consequences. And yet that's not the Lord's behavior with us. He took the consequences upon himself so that we wouldn't have to have the consequences. Not only that, again, you've ever wished that someone didn't know certain things about you. I'm always amazed at the people who don't want people to know certain things about them, and then they'll plaster it all over Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or wherever they want to show it, this window into their life. And then they're like, I don't want anybody to know that. I don't know what got over me. Something possessed me there. It was the flesh that drove me to post that thing. But wouldn't you love it if you, did you ever see, no, I shouldn't reference that movie. I'll just say, there's a movie where they have this wand that they can go up and erase someone's memory of something that just happened. Do you ever wish you can go up to someone and just say, I'm going to erase your memory of what I just said. You're never going to remember I act that way. You're never going to remember I blew that. Do you ever wish you could just erase the memory of people? Because we know that even if they're being gracious to us, we know they still remember that I did that. They still remember that I said that, and that's still here present and still affecting things now because of the record that I have with them. Colossians 2 verse 14 says this, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. With people in our lives, every time we come to them, we know they still remember the ways we failed them. But Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead so that when we come to him, there is no record of it. He does not remember. What does it say? He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He does not remember our sins against us. He has forgotten it. It's as if we can come to the Lord as if we never did anything wrong. Jesus bought that for me. He also has removed the sting of criticism, because you and I know that people are still going to criticize us. People are still going to have negative things to say about us, and sometimes it's deservedly so. And sometimes it's necessary for someone to confront us. But sometimes, have you ever been crippled by what someone has said to you? That you went for days, months, feeling insecure and second-guessing yourself because of what was said? And you know, the enemy has a way of getting inside of our heads. What does it say? He is the accuser of the brethren. He has a way of getting inside of our heads and telling us how awful and how horrible we are. And some of what he's saying might be true. And when the Bible refers, at least in this context, to rulers and authorities, it's referring to the demonic powers at work in our world today. And you know what he died for? Verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus defeated the accusations of the enemy, even the true ones. And so when the voice inside my head says, you're not worthy of this, you don't deserve this, you shouldn't be able to walk in this, you shouldn't be able to have this, and it might be true, it doesn't have to sting anymore. You know why? We could tell the devil, you know what, it is true. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to be accepted. I don't deserve to be able to do anything good. I don't deserve to be respected. I don't deserve for anybody to have a good opinion of me. But you know what? I'm going to have all of it. You know why? Because Jesus died. Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead so that I can be accepted, and so I don't have to let this sting anymore. Or the sting of what other people would say of us. In verse 16 says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in the question of food or drink. Now, there's a difference between someone holding us accountable versus someone trying to demand that we live to their expectations. And when I truly know the acceptance of the Lord, when I truly know the cleared record that he has given me, that person can think any bad thing of me, and I don't have to be despaired. I don't have to have low self-esteem. I don't have to lash out in response to it because I know that I've been redeemed. I know that I've been saved. I know that I have been accepted. And also verse 18, let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels. Now again, I cautionly proceed in here because when someone rightfully confronts us or tries to hold us accountable to the way we live for the Lord and it's biblical, we need to respond to that. But sometimes we find ourselves desperately craving the acceptance of someone else, desperately wanting someone else to respect us. And maybe it's not everybody, but maybe it's just certain people in our lives that we want them to love us, to accept us, to treat us well. And when we get in that space, we tend to do anything to try to make that happen. Even foolish things, even dumb things, even maybe ungodly things, because we're enslaved to that person's opinion of me. And the only reason I'm enslaved to that, because I don't truly know the acceptance of Christ and the cleared record that he has for me. Because if I know that to the core I am accepted for who I am before him, then I don't need to do anything to make that person happy with me. I got the Lord. And so that person can look down on me. That person can think I'm ungodly even. That person can even think I'm a false teacher. But if I know that I'm right with the Lord, it doesn't matter what they think of me. And this is what Jesus died for, to liberate us from the need to be yielded to the expectations and the demands of other people. Or maybe I thought, I don't want to make them angry. I don't want to experience conflict. We can face that with Christ because we don't have to meet their expectations. Did you know that? I want you to look at the person next to you and say, I don't have to meet your expectations. Now, don't get too excited about that. And some of you are looking at your spouse. But I want you to think about this. Imagine how liberating that would be. To be able to not care how someone thinks of me, how someone perceives me. Imagine how much anger gone, how much depression gone, how much awkwardness socially gone if I didn't care what they thought of me. Now, some of us need to care a little bit more about what people think of us, but there is a balance there. And you know what's interesting? And we said this when we observed communion. By his stripes we are healed. He died to heal us to the core of who we are. But he also died so that we can be healthy in our relationships with each other. Now that one's a little bit more dicey because it has a lot of things it's dependent upon. In many ways it's dependent upon how much I actually walk in this grace that he has given me. Depends on how much that other person walks in the grace that has been given to them. But in Ephesians 2, when he talks about giving us the potential for healthy relationships, did you know that he still attached the work of Christ, his life, death, and resurrection was for the purpose of us being able to have healthy relationships with each other? And again, in verse 13, he provided it by the blood of Christ. In verse 14, he has broken down in his flesh. In verse 16, through the cross. In verse 18, through him. What is it that he has provided for through his crucifixion? Well, in verse 12, we were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. In verse 13, you who once were far off have been brought near. You know what we've been brought near to? Not just the Lord, we've been brought near to people. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we have the ability to have intimacy with others. And here's how this works. If I feel insecure with who I am, and there's certain things about me I don't want anybody else to know because I'm afraid that they're going to reject me, then I'm always going to hold back, am I not? I'm going to not be able to be vulnerable with others because I'm so afraid of being rejected. And the reason why I'm so afraid of being rejected is because I don't feel accepted by somebody. But if I truly come to experience the acceptance of the Lord, and that he has cleared my record and I'm okay with him, then all of a sudden I'm not concerned about rejection anymore because I know I'm not rejected. And then all of a sudden I'm going to be able to open up to others even though I'm exposing flaws and weaknesses and struggles that I have. And I could be open to receiving them and have intimacy because of the work he's done in my life. Jesus died so that you could be vulnerable with somebody else. Jesus died so that you can be, you can risk that. But sometimes we risk that and we get bitten. If you've ever been vulnerable with somebody and they hurt you in the process, vulnerable with somebody and they went and told somebody else, and we thought, well, what's the use of trying to pursue this if it's not going to result in health here? Well, in verse 14 and 15, it says that he made us both one and has broken down broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances in verse 16, therefore killing the hostility. Jesus died to kill the hostility between you and me. Did you know that you're hostile towards me? Thanks, Sean. I'm hostile towards you sometimes. But Jesus died and forgave us so that we have the capacity to be able to offer that forgiveness to others. And so that we have the capacity, the strength to be able to confess our need for forgiveness towards others. And we have that because of the work of Jesus Christ. And we, because of what Jesus, if we let him, because of what Jesus has done in our lives, we have the ability to resolve those issues as they come. And do you know they're going to keep coming? Kadian, did you know that Sonia is going to drive you crazy again tomorrow? And Paul, did you know that Crystal is going to drive you crazy again tomorrow? And Betty Jo, did you know John? He's going to pull some antics at some point this week. You know that's going to happen. But I'm going to be able to show grace and forgive that because I've experienced the grace and forgiveness of the Lord. And we as broken people can continue to pursue wholeness and healing in our relationships with others only if we've come to know the healing acceptance of the Lord in our lives. Abel 2, verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, what is the church? Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And you know what's being built on top of the apostles? Other believers, and then you and I at some point. We're being built, and you know what? Things are being built upon us. You know what is? The faith of other people. We, though we are a mess still today, anybody feel like you're still a mess today? Though we are a mess even still today, and no one should trust me. No one should count upon me. I don't know how I should have any of the answers. And yet, God can use me, a mess, to bring answers into someone else's life, to bring health and healing, even though I need a bunch of healing myself. I can be used to bring healing into somebody else's life. Why? Because the work of Jesus Christ is in my life, and even though I don't deserve it, the record has been cleared, and I've been accepted, and I can walk in that acceptance confident that the Lord is going to use me, going to use you, because of the work that Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Verse 21, being joined together. What's being joined together? You and me are being held together. Have you ever felt like you had to fight for your life to hold a relationship together? Have you ever felt like you had to just go to war to keep this thing together? It's like it's pulling apart all the time. Jesus died so we'd have the ability to figure out how to hold this thing together. And verse 22, being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. One thing unique to our relationship in this room right now, to the relationships with people out there in the world, they can connect emotionally like you and I can. They can connect physically, socially like you and I can. But unless they have Christ, they can't connect spiritually to one another. And you and I can be connected, one, not only emotionally, not only socially, but as one spirit, we can be called together to connect that way. And think about how much we long for this. Long for these deep emotional connections. Long to be accepted. Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead so that we could have that. Why should we love Jesus? Well, I think we have a lot of reasons to love him. If only we could open our hearts to experience him pouring out his love into our hearts. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? If only we truly understood what Jesus is giving us. Yes, it came through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that he performed 2,000 years ago. But because of what he did 2,000 years ago, he still today can keep pouring out that acceptance, that strength, that love, that empowerment, that wisdom into our lives. And we stand in this place this morning with a lot of baggage. Lots of baggage. A lot of things we're worried about. A lot of things we're concerned about. And it's a heavy load that sometimes pulls our faces long to know what we're dealing with and wrestling with. And if only we knew, and you can begin to lead us as you feel led. If only we could come to experience this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Can you feel the weight of that lift? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But perhaps we're sitting here today thinking, but I deserve this. I messed this up. Time and time again, the Lord has given me opportunities to get it right with him. Time and time again, he's extended grace and mercy, and I've spurned it, and I've turned from it, and I've gone my own way and done my own thing. And so surely, this baggage that he wants to carry, surely he doesn't want that for me now. And yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And it could have ended there. We could have killed all the opportunity there. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And you who feel like you have too many burdens, you who feel like you do not deserve any of this, hear what he's offering you here today. But by his stripes, we are healed. Do you want that healing this morning? If so, then come and stand or kneel in his grace and let him pour his love and acceptance into your life. Come and seek him. Sometimes we're tempted and we're struggling and broken to point to people who seem like they're not. Say, well, it must be easy for them. They must not have gone through what I'm going through. These ideas are near and dear to my own heart. Because years ago, these are the ideas that kept me from taking my own life. As I wrestled with deep emotional needs, it was coming to know Christ and knowing his acceptance of me that enabled me to not destroy myself. It is what has enabled me, because I think sometimes when we stumble and we struggle, we feel like there's not been deliverance for us. Not realizing that when we wrestle with depression, sadness, failing to see that it was the Lord that helped us to recover from that, no matter how lengthy that season may have been, we survived it because of the acceptance of Christ. when we find ourselves wrestling with insecurities or awkwardness, guilt and shame, if we truly know the person of Christ and know his work in our lives, it's what keeps us alive. It's what keeps us going. And so just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here this morning, and whether it's insecurity, shame, depression, sadness, maybe you've even been tempted to be destructive in different ways towards yourself. The power of the cross is that Jesus destroyed himself so that you don't have to. And so with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you'd say, oh, how I need to be delivered from myself. And I need to know the joy and the freedom and the liberty that he brings. And I need to know the trust, to be able to trust in him and have faith in him, even though there are seasons of difficulty. If that's you here this morning, I need that. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray with you. Okay, good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Lord, you see these hands. And I ask that right now, you said that you offered this to us, that you pour out your love into our hearts. So I ask right now that you would begin to pour out your love into these hearts. Things that only they know they're dealing with. Things that only they understand. You, Lord, know, you understand. And I ask that you would begin to help them to feel that you get them, you understand them, you've seen it all, the good and the bad, and yet you love and accept them. Help them to feel that and experience the liberation of knowing that all this baggage and all this stuff that I carry, it was nailed to the cross 2,000 years ago, and I don't need to carry it anymore. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be, for all of us, our healing. And I ask that you would help us, Lord, to not just hold on to that for ourselves, but you would help us to give that out to others, to be a part, to demonstrate that he can heal. And help us to be a testimony to that. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have a responsibility, do we not? We have received great things from the Lord. And I know that, and this is something that has come up in our Wednesday discussions, I know that sometimes we feel undeserving to speak into somebody else's life. Whether it's because of sin, whether it's because of incompetency, we feel undeserving. But with God, all things are possible. He wants to use you, as messy as you might be, to impact other people's lives. But you have to choose to trust him and enter into that. And so Wednesdays is the opportunity to do that, to sow into someone else's life because it's open discussion, or to receive from others. Or the one-to-one ministry, and I know I've mentioned it over and over again, but this is a platform in which we can provide a context and an opportunity for you, assignments, to tell you, hey, pursue this person, so that you can easily walk into praying with someone and serving someone. And so if you'd like to walk in that, then before we leave this morning, see someone at the welcome table and say, hey, I'm interested in this one-to-one thing, or I'm interested in any way to serve others, because I'm telling you, more life is found when where Paul says, I received from the Lord, therefore I also delivered to you. More life is found when we're receiving from the Lord and giving out to others. We can help people thrive. Did you know that? Amen. By connecting with others and helping them develop and seeing them thrive, I want you to look at someone and tell them, I can do good. Tell them, I can do good. Tell them, be honest though, tell them, but I'm a mess. But I can do good. Okay, let's see great things. Isn't that great? He can use us even though that? Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next Sunday.